I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on radio.com.
All right, let's get the latest from One Bills Drive, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Athletic Buffalo. It is Fairburn Friday. Our buddy Matthew Fairburn joining us now in the sports bar. Matthew, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Matthew, we are debating here Derek Anderson, as you could imagine. I'm having a hard time putting my finger on the pulse of where this offense will be. What say you? What do you think, Derek Anderson, the expectation should be this Sunday?
I think expectations should be pretty low, just in fairness to a guy who was vacationing with his wife and kids about 11 or 12 days ago and is now being asked to start a game at 35 years old. But look, Derek Anderson was never that good, and, you know, he's been in the league a long time, but he's getting thrown into a situation that most would consider not ideal. So I think he could surprise some people, but I think it's best to have your expectations a little bit low so that he can surprise you. Having high expectations for Derek Anderson seems like maybe it was only acceptable in, like, 2007 or something.
Matthew, I kind of think to myself that when I look at Derek Anderson, I won't use the word talent. Coach McDermott didn't use the word talent. I would say if he's anything, he's competent. And he might even be more competent at the position than Peterman or Josh Allen. Is that really all that this offense needs to at least stay competitive in the game? I'm not saying that they're going to blow anybody out of the building, but, you know, if they can put up 17 points – right around there, and their defense does the rest. Doesn't that give them the best chance to win, just to let Derek Anderson be a competent quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. I do think there's question over whether he can be that guy for you. I mean, the last time he started a game, he threw a pick six. He started and played a series because Cam Newton was being disciplined, and he threw a pick six on that series. So, yeah, I think there's some question over whether he can be that guy, which is why you don't want to ask him to do too much, to your point. I think that's going to be important here is play action, quick passes, run the ball a lot, get the ball out of his hand quickly. Look, I think there's been a few times where we've said, hey, this can't get much worse for the Bills, right? And, you know, trade Tyrod Taylor because the passing offense can't get much worse than the bottom of the league. Well, Nathan Peterman showed that it can. And then, hey, bench Nathan Peterman because it can't get much worse. And then, you know, there were a few games where it looked like it might be worse. And so now the thought being, hey, it can't be much worse under Derek Anderson. It might. Who knows? I mean, we probably should have learned our lesson by now that you can't say that about this Bills passing offense because it can always get worse. Let's not forget Derek Anderson. Once upon a time, completed two passes in a game, threw for 27 yards, and beat the Bills 6-3.
You should see the look on Gene's face as you bring up that game.
It was the worst game to cover.
Thank God there's nightmares. Not an oven in here, because Gene's head would be in that oven right now with you bringing
it up. Do you remember who the offensive coordinator for the Browns was?
Oh, it was, let me guess. I know it was Mangini, the head coach. Was it Dable?
Of course.
It was Brian Dable.
Oh, my God. Oh, how things come back around. Let me ask you this. In today's NFL, I mean, I will always remember that game for just how horrible it was. Two completions, and the Buffalo Bills lost a football game. Could that be the game plan? Run left, run middle, run right, punt. Run left, run middle, run right, punt. I mean, can the Buffalo Bills have less than 20 attempts this week and somehow win a game, Matthew?
Play field position.
I don't think you can do that against Andrew Luck. I think eventually he'll, you know, carve you up, and he's probably going to put a couple touchdowns on the board or at least help the Colts, you know, get into scoring position. I know the Bills defense has been lights out, but Andrew Luck looks really good this year. He looks like he's back, and I don't think, although I don't know, maybe Brian Daboll did, you know, reach into his filing cabinet and dust off that game plan from that week. I doubt that's a game plan that you try to replicate. I doubt that was even what they were trying to do in that game. But, you know, it was one of those games where things really went haywire for the Browns, yet somehow they still won. Two for 13, I believe, Derek Anderson was. I mean, I'm sure they don't mind if Derek Anderson goes 2 for 13 in a win, but I think they're looking for a little bit more out of him.
Matthew Fairburn, the Athletic Buffalo, joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Matthew, I've been spending all week just trying to come up with any kind of positive spin on this matchup as I can. And one thing that I notice is that this will be the toughest, statistically, the toughest defense that Andrew Luck has faced this year. You know, what is that threshold? Is it 14 points for the defense? I mean, if you can keep Andrew Luck contained to 14 to two scores, I mean, does that give the Bills a chance of pulling off the upset on Sunday?
I mean, it should, but this Bills defense is finding out that no matter how well it plays, the offense can find a way to mess things up for them. So I think a couple touchdowns is probably, you know, should be realistic that they can get a win. The difference with this week as opposed to last week, and even probably the week before, the Colts defense isn't really good enough to, you know, play that type of game with any other offense besides the Bills. So I think there's a chance that the Colts would, you know, be able to hold the Bills under two touchdowns with Derek Anderson playing quarterback. But there's, you know, I can envision a game where they, you know, the Bills do score some points because this Colts defense is young. There's some talent there, but there's a lot of youth, and you should be able to run the ball somewhat effectively. I mean, it's one of those games where it's honestly hard for me to sit here and tell you one way or the other, you know, how it's going to go because, I mean, Derek Anderson is starting. Like, who knows? That guy hasn't been a regular starter in the league since 2010. And he's 35 years old, and he just came off the couch a few weeks ago. So trying to predict what's going to happen with him with any degree of certainty is kind of nuts.
Matthew, if we can kind of, you know, back out the picture here, widen the lens a little bit. I call it football malpractice, the way the Bills handled this quarterback situation from the get-go. And it's easy Monday morning quarterbacking here, I suppose, that they're in this position. And, you know, why didn't you take steps back in camp or, you know, in March or whatever it would be? Your thoughts on that? And I guess, where is the locker room also right now with the Buffalo Bills? We had the Diana Russini report on Monday that said, you know, before we knew it was going to be Anderson, that Sean McDermott risked losing the locker room. Any validity to that? Is there, you know, is there anything close to you know, the offense, the defense getting frustrated with the offense at this point?
You know, I think there's probably some natural frustration there, whether they admit it or not. It would be pretty difficult to not get at least somewhat frustrated, but it's not going to stop them from playing well. I think maybe at some point you'll see a little bit of a letdown, just because it's probably going to get exhausting playing that type of defense every week and not getting the results you want. But I think, you know, it's hard for me to sit here and say that the locker room is going to be lost over this whole situation because, look, if you're Kyle Williams or Jerry Hughes or Lorenzo Alexander, I think for the most part, you knew what you were getting into. I mean, they knew Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman were the quarterbacks on the roster heading into the season. They should have known what those two guys were. They went up against them in practice all summer. So if they were frustrated, it should have started then. I mean, you're right. They screwed this whole thing up in so many ways. I mean, you could trace it all the way back to trading Tyrod Taylor. I'm not sure if I would go that far, but, you know, signing A.J. McCarron, starting Nathan Peterman, trading A.J. McCarron, benching Nathan Peterman, not signing a capable backup, you know, and leaving Nathan Peterman out there to again cost you a game. And then having to, I mean, when you have to start Derek Anderson 10 days after you signed him, and he was essentially retired. That should say everything you need to know about how bad this quarterback situation is. I mean, that is insanity.
And Matthew, I don't think we've seen the last of Nathan Peterman. The idea
I don't think so either.
I don't know that Derek Anderson is going to play so poorly that people are going to be like, oh God, just put Peterman in there. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But what if Anderson gets injured? What if he doesn't make it out of this game alive? Can you imagine a scenario where Sean McDermott sits down Peterman and says, hey, kid, another chance at redemption, Monday night, prime time against the New England Patriots at home. What do you say? You ready to make this game define you?
It's one of those things where you're asking a 35-year-old man who's been out of football. It's, I mean, more so than the mental aspect, which I think is being a bit overrated here. I this guy has played a lot of football. Offenses are offenses in the NFL. I think he knows what's going on for the most part. Conceptually, he's got to get the terminology down. That should be okay. I would say the more concerning part is putting a guy who, regardless of what he says, probably isn't in game shape. He got no training camp, none of that. He's, again, I stress, a couple weeks ago, he was on vacation with his family. Probably not working out.
You know what? If he's on the meal plan at Disney, though, Matthew, I mean, there's some nutrition on that meal plan.
You know what, though?
Maybe he was watching himself.
Yeah,
maybe he was
salty
on the Stairmaster. Maybe he was taking some of the fitness classes they offer. I don't know. But you're asking that guy to go in behind the Bills' offensive line. I mean, of course he's not going to be in great shape. And it's one hit. Like, that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what shape you're in. One hit, and Nathan Peterman's back in the game. Josh Allen's probably out for a couple weeks at least, right? That leaves a window open where if Anderson gets hurt, they're going to justify it as Nathan Peterman's the only guy who knows the offense and we got to throw him back in there. And I mean, like you said, it could be as soon as the Patriots game on Monday Night Football. And then you're asking Nathan Peterman to step out there in prime time and have another go at it. And again, this all traces back to the infatuation with Nathan Peterman. If they didn't have that, if they weren't, you know, married to the idea of him being something great, then they could have, you know, found a more capable backup heading into the season. But instead, he's now still their primary backup, still one hit away from, you know, being in the lineup. And that's what you're left with when you put yourself in a situation like this.
Matthew, Gene mentioned this earlier this week, and I think it's worth just bringing up. I mean, we know that Sean McDermott, it's his call to make, and he's the guy that's kind of been tasked with the build, as he calls it. But we're kind of skeptical. We're also thinking to ourselves, you know what? Maybe he's not making the decisions, but I got to believe Terry Pegula has at least some influence on the decisions that are being made. I'm trying to figure out how they can still justify having Nathan Peterman or keeping him even from earlier this year. Like, what is the infatuation? And the only thing I can come up with is there's got to be somebody there that just says, you know what? We like him. We don't want to see him, you know, on the streets. We don't want to cut him. We think he's a good guy. We believe in him. What is it? What could possibly be keeping him on this roster? I mean, now is a different situation, but even from after week one.
I think they still believed in him after week one of, hey, this guy was a fifth round pick last year. We invested in him and we don't want to cut him, you know, and, you know, lose out on what he could develop into. And that sounds crazy, but I think that was the legitimate thought process there. And the problem with that is you're looking at a guy who has shown no evidence that he warrants any sort of, any sort of benefit of the doubt in that way. I mean, he's a guy that I think, you know, has at every turn given you reason to believe he doesn't belong in this league. And yet they continue to roll him out there. And now the defense is that he's the only guy that knows the offense. And they're going to be able to continue to use that defense for a while. And whenever the subject comes up, Sean McDermott gets all bent out of shape about it. But it's a legitimate question. Like, what the hell is this guy doing on an NFL roster? And look, not every one of these situations was his fault. Even that pick six, I think, you know, there's blame to go around. Brian Daboll called the exact same play two plays in a row. Kelvin Benjamin ran one of the worst curl routes I've ever seen anybody ever run. And so that wasn't all on Peterman. But the fact of the matter is now he's statistically one of the worst quarterbacks of all time. And if you don't think that's in his head, you're missing the point. You know, if you're Sean McDermott and you say, you know, that you don't think this is in his head, I think you've lost your mind, because it would be impossible for it to not be in his head at this point.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic joining us when the Bills came to the realization, okay, we need to bring somebody else in. To me, Anderson was not a surprise, because this is how this organization operates. They go to their comfort zone, to guys they like. You know, this Carolina nepotism, so to speak, Matthew. Is this just the way things operate in the NFL, or is this a serious blind spot that this whole regime has? Because to me, if Derek Anderson is the best you could find out there right now, and I don't know if there's anybody else, but is this a problem in your mind that for whatever reason these guys continue to do business with people that they're comfortable with rather than trying to go out and find somebody that actually might be a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, you can make that argument. The Derek Anderson thing, I mean, he was initially signed to be a mentor. So they're comfortable with him, they know him, and they didn't think he was going to be playing. Again, swing and a miss. I mean, they've swung and missed all the time at this position. It's borderline comical at this point. But you're looking for a guy that you know his habits and meetings and all that. He knows Brian Daboll's offense to some extent. He's worked with Daboll before. McDermott's been around him. Bean's been around him. Makes plenty of sense. I think you should have been looking for this type of guy in March or July or August. As soon as you got an idea that, hey, A.J. McCarron's probably not going to win this job, let's move him for a pick. And when we do, let's find another guy that can come in here and get up to speed quickly. Because you should have looked at the fact that having Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman as your only two quarterbacks was going to be a little bit insane going into the season. And it turned out to be even more insane than it looked. So, you know, on some level, they are at fault for having too narrow a lens. I mean, guys like Matt Moore, I mean, you could have shelled out some money for the Josh McCowns of the world. I mean, there were guys out there this offseason that, you know, would have filled that role for you. And, you know, I'm not sure how much good that does. You'll never be able to measure how good a deal it is to have a mentor quarterback, but at least you would be in a situation where there would be a veteran guy who has had his hands on your playbook who can then come in for you, as opposed to a guy who was golfing a couple weeks ago, you know, rolling in off the street and just giving it the old college try.
Matthew, you're great with your time as always. Before we let you go, can we bug you for a prediction on Sunday? And can we also find out what you're working on for the Athletic Buffalo?
Yeah, I've got the Colts winning this one 16-10. I haven't picked the Bills once this year, I don't think. I picked them to cover the spread occasionally, but I don't think I've picked them outright, and it certainly doesn't seem like a good time to do so with everything they have going on at quarterback. Maybe Derek Anderson will surprise me, but I think the Colts will win a close one. And I wrote about Derek Anderson over at the Athletic Buffalo. I caught up with Dennis Erickson, his old ball coach.
Oh, yeah.
And his old high school coach, just to kind of get their reaction to this whole deal. And it's kind of funny. I mean, Derek Anderson's like, he's out in Utah. He's going to be coaching for the Alliance of American Football, the little franchise they have in Salt Lake City. And he's like, I got to get myself to a tavern and find out how I can watch the Bills, because it's certainly not going to be on TV. But all these guys are excited. It's almost like, you know, watching a rookie make his first start, because you're out there thinking his career is done. And now you're like, well, the Bills, yep, I guess we're Bills fans now. So it's kind of a funny dynamic for those guys. But yeah, that's over at the Athletic. And you can also check out an in-depth film breakdown I did with Joe Licata, breaking down, you know, the game that the Bills quarterbacks had, including that pick six, and where some of the blame should go outside of Nathan Peterman.
Matthew, always great with your time. Safe travels to Indy, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds great. Talk to you soon, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic joining us, as he does on Fridays, the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
We've got some breaking NFL news here.
Saw that, Gene. What do you think I was doing on my phone while we were talking to Matthew?
Don't tell me you put in a claim for Duke Johnson or Nick Chubb.
No, I went after Nick Chubb. In one of my leagues, he was there.
Okay.
I pulled the trigger.
So everybody pay attention here.
Pull the trigger. Go get Nick Chubb.
ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting Carlos Hyde traded from the Browns to Jacksonville in exchange. Cleveland gets a fifth-round pick. Carlos Hyde, so far this year, 382 yards, 5 touchdowns. Obviously, the Jags concerned about Leonard Fournette and that hamstring. Fournette had already been ruled out for Sunday's game against Houston. No word if Hyde will be. You would assume maybe he'll be in uniform for that game against Houston. So in the NFL trade today, Carlos Hyde going from Cleveland to Jacksonville.
Flip tweeting us at ESPN Rochester. This came over the last few minutes while we were talking to Fairburn. My God, you guys are the worst, most depressing radio show. Know your audience. Try finding some sort of positive. Flip, are you paying attention to what I've been saying all afternoon? I have the Bills winning. I might be the only one, me and Duffy maybe, and Masterstroke.
Yeah.
I have the Bills winning. I'm trying to find a positive. All right, that's all I'm doing, Flip. That's all I'm doing over here. I'm just shy of Masterstroke territory.
Flip, you are a Masterstroke, okay, Flip? I'm sorry. Do you want us to, like, be homers and wave pom-poms? All right, you know what, Flip? Here's your positivity. Cross the streams, Flip. Cross the streams.
Yes.
Yes, there's a new plan here in Buffalo. Cross the streams, Flip. Be on board with this new plan.
I have a radical idea. The door swings both ways. We could reverse the particle flow through the gate.
How?
We'll start Derek Anderson.
Excuse me, Egon.
You said that starting Derek Anderson was bad.
You're going to endanger us. You're going to endanger our
fans, the nice people that paid us in advance.
Not necessarily. There's definitely a very slim chance we'll survive.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Flip, there's a very, very slim chance we'll survive. All right, let's get to Aldrich to that next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. You're always welcome to join us at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. Boy, the Chargers are a mess, Gene. I know you're going to touch on that here in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we've got thoughts on that. Also, they're a mess. Arizona's a mess. Can the Cardinals trade Larry Fitzgerald? I doubt Larry Fitzgerald will go and ask for a trade, but I'm telling you, there's one team that could really, really use his services, and if he ended up there, that would make the league much better, make this team much better, too.
There's a star player in the NFL who's anti-water. Oh, my God. And if you thought his antics on the sideline were petulant and childish, we'll get to that in a few minutes here. I'll drink to that. Water. I'll drink to that. In the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score, stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.